Join Tim and Christina Madden, co-founders of Executive Career Upgrades, on their podcast, The Executive Career Upgrades Podcast. As an executive in today's highly competitive job market, it can be tough to succeed. However, with Tim's nationally recognized career advice and Christina's mindset expertise, you can reach your full potential. Tune in to upgrade your career and get ahead of the competition.
All right, welcome to the Executive Career Upgrades Podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Tim Madden. Hope everyone's doing well. Hey, if you don't know me, I help those targeting six figures or multiple six figures find the job and money that they deserve in the marketplace, be successful at that new role while onboarding, and then have continued success throughout their career. And I'm really excited for today's podcast. But before we get started, for episode 131, do me a favor. If you have not left us a review on iTunes, and you're one of the people that listen to us in 64 countries around the globe every single week, do me a favor and go over to iTunes right now and say that the Executive Career Upgrades Podcast is the best podcast you've ever listened to, and that it really helps you in your career. We would really appreciate it. We always talk about having big goals on this podcast. One of me and Christina's big goals this year is to be a top 100 podcast. And if you get value from this, hey, do us a favor and go hook us up. Two more announcements before we get started. As always, if you need help in your career, you're coming up on an interview, you're coming up on a networking call, you don't know what you need to do next, we have a tremendous amount of free resources. So definitely go check out execupgrades.com/resources. And hey, if you're having trouble landing your next position and you want some additional help, you want a blueprint, you want a plan, go on over to execupgrades.com/podcast. All right. So we are starting something new on the Executive Career Upgrades Podcast that I'm really excited about. This is going to be the client series. So each week I'm going to bring a past or current client on, and you are going to hear how individuals are. First off, you're going to hear some funny stories of what's going on in the market, okay? You're going to hear some stories that are going to tear you up, and you're going to hear how different people are using different tactics and strategies to get hired in corporate America today at director roles, VP roles, and some of the highest roles in the market. So, hey, it is now May 8th here at Executive Career Upgrades, and we've helped our clients get on 1,000 multiple six-figure interviews this year, and we've had nearly 200 offers come in. So we're super excited to bring some of these people on. So it's not the Tim and Christina Madden show anymore, right? We can bring other individuals on that have gone through our programs or are in our programs that we've worked with and have had success and some good stories. So I am super excited to get started with episode 131, but client series Pam 001. And Pam, I just came up with this random name, Miss Pamela Roman, is landing an executive position through networking. So Pam, do me a favor, introduce yourself for all the listeners here today.
Absolutely. And first, I'm excited to be your first client episode. So that's awesome. Pam Roman, I am. So I'll start off by sharing a little bit personally, because that ties to my career, I think, right? I live in Atlantic Beach, Florida with my husband. And that's important because it is the perfect place for me to be able to do the three things I am super passionate about. That is travel, because we are close to a major airport. That is absolutely healthy lifestyle. And I don't think you can have a successful career if you're not taking care of yourself. So, hopefully you've got that in your repertoire, but find a place that lets you do that. And technology. And Atlantic Beach is a little coastal community, but we're near Jacksonville, Florida, and Jacksonville is quickly becoming a tech hub in the United States. And so I have access to lots of brains in the tech field. So it's really interesting to learn from them. So, but on a professional level, I have been in some form of marketing communications now for over 20 years. I started actually in broadcast news and made a pivot into PR shortly after that. And I'll tell you, I'm not looking to change fields. I love what I do. But what's interesting about marketing and interesting about career searches and upgrading your career from one position to the other is everything in marketing always changes. What you did 2 years ago is out of date. And now, particularly with AI and all the other technologies that are out there, it is really reshaping what marketing does. And I'm sure a lot of other careers as well, right? But it's a super cool time to be in the marketing field. And I'm working with Tim. I'm looking forward to my next position in marketing as well. But it's exciting to be here.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Pam. Well, I'm excited. When we met to kick off this client series, I know we were talking about the dreaded networking and how no one likes to do it. Well, mainly because probably they don't know how, you know. But before we get into that, because I had some really good questions for you, I just, you know, I know we worked together previously, and I always want to share these stories of what happened, because we had a similar story happen about a year ago with the client I worked where I'll share a little teaser. You know, he was in the final rounds and he actually got the Sorry Charlie email, and he was super confused because he was like, hey, I'm supposed to go to the next round. And he called me all panicked or whatever. And I'm like, hey, it's probably an automated hiccup. And he went on to actually land that job after 3 days of sweat and bullets. And you had a similar experience last time. So I really wanted to walk back for everyone listening to see how it happened for you 3 or 4 years ago. So can you walk it through, like, you notice the position, kind of start there, and some funny things happen?
I can, yeah, actually, and it was 2018. So I'm a former client and a current client, Tim, by the way. That should say something about what you and Christina do for anybody listening, just FYI. Right, so I found myself out of a position after the company I worked for had sold to investors, and it was the first time in my entire life I hadn't just moved from job to job on my own. And I thought, oh, I'll get another job in a week. And then it was 2 weeks, and then it was a month, and then it was 2 months. And I was like, oh my gosh. And during my career, I've been in broadcast news. I've worked for a number of mayors. I'm good at networking. I'm good spokesperson. I hired a lot. So I think I'm good at interviews. I have a great network, but all for the people I work for, the products I've sold, right? Not for me. And I realized, oh my gosh, I have to network me. I have to brand me. And Tim, when I signed up with you the first time, that was a hard pill to swallow. It was, I kind of came in kicking and screaming, like, I don't want to network with these people to talk about me. I don't want to do this. But at any rate, I did do that. I followed the lead. I followed orders, as you would say. And I applied for a job online. And to the point of your program back then, there was an online component. There was a LinkedIn messaging component, mm-hmm. right? With networking through LinkedIn. I applied for a job online. I found a person connected to that job at the company, messaged her on LinkedIn, read her profile, talked to her about some of the things I'd read on her profile. We had two really good conversations and then an actual official interview with her. And she said, look, I want you to interview with the CEO. I think it's a done deal, basically. And she had me scheduled for the CEO the following day. Literally 2 hours before that CEO interview, I get an email from HR that said, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. We don't think you're qualified for this position. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I was in panic mode too, just like you said. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I'd done wrong. And that's the first thing I thought, what did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong, right? At any rate, the HR, the resume I filled out online went through the HR system and it got knocked out of their ATS system. Mm-hmm. I called her, kind of said, help me understand what happened. And she said, oh my gosh, that's a mistake. Don't worry about it. Met with the CEO, got the job, had a great career there. Five and a half years there. And a few promotions. Unfortunately, I'm looking again, because they had some cost cuttings and you know how marketing is in that space, but it was a great experience. And it was a learning lesson for me to say, yes, you do have to network. You have to put the work in, but you also have to be comfortable networking for yourself.
Mm-hmm. So on those two, before I get into the questions, you stated that you had two calls before mm-hmm. she even this position. So it's basically, you noticed there was an opening, you got a hold of her, you approached that situation somehow, mm-hmm. right? What did you talk about on like the first call? And then how did you follow up to the second call? And then how did you do that? Because a lot of people get confused, you know, sure. on what, can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. So initially I went on her profile and she had posted several articles on LinkedIn. It's always good when you can read something that somebody actually posts themselves, right? She had posted an article. So this is a technology company, by the way. She had posted an article about cloud, about working in the cloud, moving to the cloud. And in Jacksonville, I had just attended a Chamber of Commerce meeting about some cloud companies moving into our area that were, you know, talking about moving to the cloud. And so I commented on her article. I said, this is, you know, really great. I just attended this meeting. What we said here was similar, da, da, da. And she, within an hour, she messaged me back and said, oh, I'm glad you read my article. What did you think about it? And we started talking about that. And then she said, oh, I was looking at your profile. You're in marketing. I said, yes. And by the way, I did apply for an opening at your company, you know, online. And then we just started talking from there.
Perfect. Smooth, right? Excellent. So, hey, let's get into the questions.
I'm ready.
Perspective on networking. So previously it said you were kicking and screaming, and now you know about, what's your perspective of networking fast forward 6 years later?
Sure. Well, a few things. So number one, what I learned from being with you guys the first time, and you know, you've grown since then. You've added automation, you've added all these really cool bells and whistles. I'm excited about those this time, which makes all of that easier. Last time, there was a lot of manual work, but it was work that needed to be done. You definitely held me and everybody else that was there accountable. I remember those meetings that said, okay, let's go down your list. Did you message these people? You know, but initially, it was just uncomfortable. It was, absolutely, I don't want to ask people to help me. I feel like I'm the burden. I feel like I feel like something's wrong with me. I should be able to do this on my own. If I can market products and services and other people, why can't I market myself? Right. And at first it was, if I ask for help, that means I'm not good at what I do. Mm-hmm. And that is so the wrong attitude. And once I got past that, and really by being forced to get past it, because I wasn't getting anything on my own, quite frankly. And I think that lack of confidence was coming through. Once I networked and practiced, and I had to sort of take myself out of it, almost is like I stepped back from myself and I was someone else marketing me. That's the kind of approach I took with it. Everybody's different. Mm-hmm. And if I fast forward to coming back and joining the group again, you know what? For me, 5.5 years later, networking still isn't comfortable.
Yeah.
And I'm networking for me. It's just not my thing. Mm-hmm. But what I know it works. I know it absolutely works. And if it works, you just do what you have to do. You guys have processes that make it a little easier. But the other thing I've learned this time, because it's interesting in connecting with so many other people in your program now, Tim, is I'm not the only one that has problems with networking. I'm not the only one that's uncomfortable. Most people are. Maybe they don't want to admit it, but they are. And it's okay to say that. If you're uncomfortable, get help. Have a process, have a plan, have a lesson plan, if you will, and follow it, make a habit of it. And you just start automatically doing it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Carry it through. After you find a job, I didn't do this last time. After you find a job, after you land your next position, don't forget about networking yourself.
Well, that's one of my questions I have for you later. So
I'll wait for that one.
So, you know, something I read recently, which might help you out this time, because I know you said it's uncomfortable, but I know it produces results. So I saw this interesting concept recently by this book. It's called Beyond Positive Thinking. It's an amazing book. And I loved his concept of how he starts the book. He said, most people think in terms of positive and negative, meaning like, I want to do it or I don't really want to do it. But he introduced this new concept. So he said, positive-based thinking, negative-based thinking. And then here was the epiphany, reality-based thinking. Mm. So what I've been thinking at recently is like, whether I want to do it or don't want to do it doesn't really matter. The reality is to get the results I need to do it. So therefore, I'm not going to think about it positively. I'm not going to think about it negatively. I'm just going to think about it in reality, which is I just have to do it, you know? So hopefully, you know, maybe that helps someone who's listening to this, because I know people always think about like how they feel, you know, like, or I'm uncomfortable, or, you know, when I do it, I feel comfortable. And it's like, the reality is this, whether you're uncomfortable or comfortable, hey, get the tactics and just welcome to reality, you know? So that's something to help me. I have a question for you though. Here's the question. You're still going to be in marketing for the foreseeable future. You're still, you know, AI's coming out. Mm. When you don't know how to do something, it's uncomfortable and you still have to learn. So how come do you think that when it comes to networking, Most people are uncomfortable, but when you have to learn something that you don't know, that's uncomfortable too, but you don't feel the same way. Why is that? You know?
You know, I'm no psychologist, but I would say for me, and I did some digging into myself for this, trying to think about that, and this time as well, because I knew from the last time it worked, why am I so resistant to it still in my head, right? And I think for me, it is because it's about me.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to why do I need help with anything about me,
mm-hmm.
right? But look. If I'm wanting to lose weight, or, you know, I'll hire a personal trainer, right? If I want to, mainly women, sorry out there, if I want a makeover, I'm going to go to somebody else. I'm not going to try to stand in the mirror for 2 hours and do it myself, right? I mean, you ask people for help with you. Some people have personal shoppers. I mean, why not ask for help with this, right? But it is a hard, it's like I said earlier, it's a hard pill to swallow. I can't do it myself. And I think people that are looking for higher level positions,
mm-hmm.
You know, and again, with marketing, we're all about promoting, selling, pushing people, products, services, right? So for me, it was really like, am I not really good at what I do because I can't do that for myself? But I think for any upper level executive, that's probably hard to admit, right? And I don't even think it's that you can't do it. It's just, again, it's uncomfortable. And so you need this like support system, if you will, process, technology, whatever you want to call your support system, to help you just do what's uncomfortable to do.
Yeah. I heard my friend was talking recently for any of those that are faith-based. And he said, guys, even Jesus had disciples, you know, and I was like, man.
That's right.
You know, like even he had hope. I really liked, I never thought of the makeup analogy. I love that. Because even Christina, she is a really good freaking makeup artist, you know, mm-hmm. but even her all the time when we have an event or something, she was like, this person just does it better. And that's a really good analogy that I never thought of. Like, of course, every woman knows how to put on makeup for the most point. But let's be honest, someone who does it for a living is probably going to do a little bit better job.
Exactly.
You know, like on your wedding day, you probably hired some person to do your makeup, right?
Exactly right.
So we talked about one and we could talk about it again. Question two is, what networking strategy would you recommend for someone in transition or looking for new opportunities? You know, so you kind of gave one.
Mm-hmm.
Any others that come to mind, or you can just reinforce that other one?
Well, let's reinforce that one a bit, because in fact, the last time I went through your program, Tim, that worked for me more than once. So I took the offer that we talked about, but I had during that time in the course of about 2 months, I guess I had 5 offers. Mm-hmm. All but one of those came through a very similar type of activity. I had applied for a job online, yes, but then I went on LinkedIn, found people that worked there, messaged people back and forth, looked up their profiles or something about the company that the company was doing. And, you know, so in the marketing, you don't want to make it so obvious. Oh, I saw your company just won Employer of the Year award. You know, I want to work there. It's not, you got to dig a little deeper. There's a little research that has to be done, in my opinion. But so out of 5 positions that I was offered, I got 4 of them through that networking type of style, really researching people, a couple of people I had lunch with as a result of that. You know, I mean, it really worked for me, and I'm doing that again this time. I'm researching either the person or something on the company's LinkedIn page, somehow where we can connect in a little more detail other than just maybe there's a job opening or, hey, we both do marketing or something like that. Although those probably work too, right?
Yeah.
But I just...
Sure. Thank you for sharing that, because I think now is an important point for say, because we have a lot of people who come to us and say, I've already done that and that doesn't work. So it's really refreshing to hear you specifically saying, I got multiple offers because of this strategy. So just real quick, for anyone who says like, I've been doing this, hey, if you're not getting results, you're just kind of, there's many ways to land new opportunities or whatever. But where most people struggle in this specific area is, number one, they're not clear on their next target. Number two, they're not branded well, and they don't have their accomplishments on LinkedIn, and they don't have simple things like a professional photo and a nice banner. And when they reach out, they're not saying the right thing. So if you're not getting results, it's likely one of those, you know, areas. Well, I just come into the common mistake. So, whoops. Pam, what are some common mistakes you think people make when they're networking for positions?
So I think, again, for me, you know, not asking for help in a position right away, establishing a relationship, right? And I'm sure there are times when you want to bring the position opening up front, right? But mm-hmm. establishing a relationship, but it needs to be, again, it needs to look like some effort. And I'll tell you, when I was in my last role and I was hiring people, this mm-hmm. worked on me, right?
Yeah,
much more pay attention to people I was interviewing that said, hi, I was on your LinkedIn page. I read this post that you put up, or I noticed, you know, whatever. And they had done some, but somebody may message me or interview me and say, hey, I saw you went to University of South Florida, go Bulls. And I'll go, where'd you go? I went to, you know, UCLA. Well, okay, that's nothing in common. So for me, that almost felt fake. It almost felt like they didn't do a lot of digging. They looked at a surface thing. So I think for me, it's a little more, it's learning a little more about the person or the company or something the person's interested in than just what's on the surface. And that doesn't take that much time. You know,
it worked on me twice too.
Yeah.
So a guy I hired recently, he sent me a Southeastern or a Purdue hat where I got my undergrad. He mailed it to me before the interview. And I was like, I want to talk to this guy. And most recently, just a simple follow-up. Just the simple follow-up. We had an executive position. We narrowed it down to a couple people, only one person, and not a thoughtful like following up. It was like, I'm excited to partner. Hey, I know here's some of your challenges. I just want to, and I was like, hey, let's take that person. So,
right. And you know, it's talking about follow-up, even when you message someone, and this certainly when I was hiring, this didn't offend me at all. As a matter of fact, I enjoyed the fact that people did this. I liked the fact that people did it. If they sent me an email or an in-mail or something and I didn't respond the first time, if they didn't remind me, if I never heard from them again, I probably forgot about them unless HR was in my ear. But the ones that said, hey, following back up, left you a message, know you're busy, you know, any kind of thing like that, that shows they're really interested, they're really willing to put some effort into it, also got my attention. And I did that with some of the networking I did last time. I expect I'll do that this time as well, right? Yeah. It's that ability to follow up. It's like, don't take no response as rejection.
Well, here's what happens. I'm glad. You message me. I like your profile. I read your message. And immediately what happens? Someone calls me and I just completely forgot about you. Yeah. Or I'm pulled to a meeting or I'm going to lunch and I completely forgot. Interesting, since we implemented this automated system to help with this process 3 years ago, we have now the analytics, and that's what you want in marketing. And the interesting thing is this, I don't know if I ever shared this with you, so it's crazy that you just said that. 78% of all responses come from the first follow-up message because of the automated system. So most people will see it, not say anything, and most of them come, we have the data that says. So for everyone out there, it's funny, I talk to people a lot and a lot of people send one message and I'm like, man, if all you did sometimes was send another short little message saying, hey, just bumping this to the top of your inbox, does it make sense to have a conversation? Could literally change it. You know, it's wild. So how do you think, well, you're in marketing, so this is important. How important is an online presence such as LinkedIn for, you know, executive level networking?
Yeah, well, it's critical. I mean, I think, again, like networking is something you just have to have, right? And so, yeah, sure, from a marketing perspective, for your product, for your company, for your service, again, absolutely, you have to have social media presence, LinkedIn being one of those platforms. But if you're trying to brand yourself, if you're trying to build a network, I mean, LinkedIn is the place to go. And it was interesting, I was talking to a gentleman from a group called Techstars a couple of weeks ago. And we were talking about LinkedIn for a company he was working for. And he was talking about the new algorithms in LinkedIn, where when people publish their own posts, when people publish a post or, you know, put something up on LinkedIn, that if they are getting any sort of responses, any sort of engagement within the first 24 hours, it gets elevated now. LinkedIn elevates that so more people see it. So if you're wanting to build your network, If you're wanting to, you know, get the attention of other people, which you are when you're in a career search, right? Whether you're upgrading or whatever, that it's one of the places people go. And interestingly enough, my last position, my boss was a CRO and love her to death, but she was very, very picky. You know, and I would have candidates come through marketing and I would share resumes with her and she'd say, I need to see the LinkedIn profile.
Yep.
I need to see, you know, and every time. And a couple, if they didn't have a headshot up, she's like, you know, if they didn't have certain things, moving on, right? We don't need that, right?
She sounds like me.
Yeah, well, and me too, right?
Yeah.
So it's critical, but not just having a profile that's good and having, as you said, a professional headshot. Yes, you need all of that. And now there's the question of, do you want your AI headshot? You know, or do you want a real headshot? And you know, the experts, the LinkedIn experts, you know, they say that right now you still want the genuine headshot because it you can see, if you've got an eye, you can see that whether one's AI or not in it. You know, people don't associate genuality, is that a word?
Yeah.
with that, right? So you want to appear genuine. But the other thing is you have to be active on there.
Yeah.
When you're working for a company, yeah, it's easy to post your company stuff.
Yeah.
My thing. But you also need to post your expertise on there as well.
And because of that, didn't you have a post get picked up by the Harvard Business Review or something that went a little semi-viral and a lot of people like...
And that was the last time, right? That was the first time we worked together. And the person that offered me the position that I took in one of our conversations came back and said, I read your post, right?
There you go. There you go.
So, and because she was active on LinkedIn and like, as I just said, she looks for that. Now I know she was looking for that then. And the mistake I think I made, and I'm sure some people make, is sometimes you're so right, particularly maybe marketers. Marketers are great communicators for everybody but themselves. I think that, you know, the mistake I made was I didn't post for myself. I posted for the company. Well, I should post for the company, but I should also continue to post for myself.
Absolutely.
That makes a big difference.
Absolutely. So after you meet with someone, so let's go back to the last position you landed. The first was, you know, they had an open position, but you also kind of approached it from a networking perspective. What are some effective follow-up strategies, right? Because obviously you had to take it, like, where did you leave at the meeting and everyone's so busy, right? How did you like lock down that next step? Because a lot of people struggle with that too.
Right. Well, and you know, it's interesting now, Tim, I sound like I'm a commercial for you guys. And I don't mean to be, but you guys now have an interviewing certification,
yes,
which kind of makes you practice and tell, but you were teaching it on, you know, on your own kind of the last time. Mm-hmm. And one of the points that you made that was hard to get in my head as well was this idea of controlling the interview and controlling what the next steps are going to be, right?
Absolutely.
And even if it's not an interview, but a networking call. So the first time I talked to the person who later hired me, you know, I basically asked her what the challenges were they were looking for in that role. And yep. I said to her, let me write up some thoughts on that and share those with you.
Uh-huh.
And we'll connect. Why don't we schedule a call? Why don't you do that and let us schedule a call and talk about those? And she said, look at our website while you're at it and give me feedback on the website.
That's
and
I said, great yes. Great idea. Right.
So it was offering that kind of activity. And I did that with some of the others as well, right?
Okay.
It's offering some sort of activity that you can give them to move the next step forward.
I'm glad you said that. Thank you so much. This is going to help people when they listen to it, because here's why. So many people, they get like anxiety about trying to, quote, lock down the next step. That's why you need to be trained, and it needs to be smooth, and it needs to be genuinely done, right?
Yeah.
Because just like that, I always try to think of like, I'm not trying to force someone or like arm wrestle with them. It should be like, this is logical. It's like, these are your challenges. Hey, your route that you took is, hey, let me develop a plan. And because I believe I can help, and I think it would make sense if we connect at this time. That's very logical. Like if you've been able, well, if you've presented yourself in a good way and you've led up to this part and you actually do it, you're going to get results and people are going to resonate with that. A lot of people, whenever they try to lock down those next steps kind of forcefully and they haven't done the right thing on the interview, that's when they get a lot of pushback of saying, well, I'm busy and this. And that's probably an indicator of, hey, you didn't really handle that the right way. Because in this instance, it's like, hey, if you know, if they feel that you can help them, it's very logical that they're going to, you know, allow, yeah, sure, let's meet next Wednesday at this time. And yeah, absolutely. So great job. Smooth.
Yeah.
You smooth.
Well, I'll tell you really quickly, again, when I was hiring somebody, I was hiring a writing position, right? And this guy came in, he interviewed well, but I had some really good candidates. And he asked me what some of the projects were going to be. And I said, we're going to redo our website, you know? And so he was, you know, the interview was wrapping up and he said, I would like to rewrite a couple of pages on your website and submit those to you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that. And I'd love to follow up with a call to talk through those with you. Mm-hmm. Right. And he got the job because first of all, I was impressed. Second of all, he did it and did a good job. So I could see his writing. So now I had something else to go by. Right. But yeah, it's just that extra step.
Yep. Absolutely. Thank you so much. So, hey, this is a big one for you. How should executives maintain their network, especially when they are not actively looking for a job, Pam?
Yes. It's all about, you know, talking about what you're passionate about and yes, in your career, but maybe even other things. So humanize yourself even on LinkedIn, right? I mean, post and comment on other people's posts. Yep. If you read a post, I'm in marketing. I may read a post about some HR strategy that I think is really great. I'm going to comment on that. I didn't, but I should. I always think, oh, I should comment. And when you're working, you're busy, but make time to do that and continue to post yourself. But it's posting yourself, but it is also reacting to and engaging with what other people post, right? Making sure that they see that you're engaged with them, whether it's a company page or an individual's page, you know. Also, LinkedIn groups. I mean, I know a lot of people poo-poo those. I'm not going to group. But the truth is they do have, it is a good networking opportunity. And people will start getting used to seeing your name as someone who publishes in or posts in or comments on and associate that with the group. So I think that's really important as well.
Absolutely. Hey, if I'm trying to get a hold of CFOs in Miami, guaranteed there is a LinkedIn group with Miami CFOs that always connect and collaborate on LinkedIn.
Yep.
Sure. So the last question I have, because you've, you know, mentioned that you've had to overcome this and you're still having to now. So what advice do you have for people that are those introverted people? Because you're outgoing and you've even said, hey, sometimes I'm still uncomfortable. Well, what about people that seemingly aren't outgoing, right? What advice do you have for introverts, right? Who we know that they need to network at these levels to obtain these jobs. What advice would you have for them?
Well, and a surprise that most people don't know about me. In my professional career, I'm an extreme extrovert. Mm-hmm. I'll get in front of you. I'll have a conversation. I'll present. But my personal life, and this is why networking is difficult, I am not. I am super shy.
Yeah.
I stand back. I observe. You know, whatever. So so for me, again, the necessity of having to do it. And Tim, when I was part of your group last time, you had a smaller group of clients, but we all kind of talked together and kind of lamented together about what was working, what wasn't working, you know, the struggles. And there were a couple of them that said, look, I got Tim's networking thing. I didn't want to do it, but I did it and it worked. And it started kind of driving momentum, right? And I'll fast forward to last week, and I won't mention her name because it's her story. It's not my story to tell. But I had connected with one of the people that is an ECU member last week or a couple weeks ago now. And she said, and she's executive level. And she said, I can't network. I don't know how to do this. I'm reaching out to the team, see if they can help me. I don't know. I'm going to freeze up on the networking part. Yep. She reached out to the team. The team helped her. She didn't freeze up. She's got a job offer. Actually, I think she's accepted it already, as a matter of fact. And she said to the team, not only did I, you know, I made it through the networking, I'm going to stay in the group because I'm going to apply this to my professional career moving forward.
Good.
Right. But I think for me, making it and understanding it, that it works obviously helps. But also for me, it was, okay, look, step back. No one here knows I'm nervous about this but me, so it's not going to show in my post and my outreach. You know, nobody's going to know but me. I just take a deep breath, get the confidence in. And what's the worst thing that can happen? And it's happened to me. I said, ask somebody to meet with me, and they said their answer was no.
Yeah.
No. Okay, you know, and so you know what I said this time? Last time I would have been devastated. This time I said, oh, poor guy, he missed out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have to, it's almost like fake it till you make it kind of thing. You just
yep.
have to say, gotta do it and get going.
Got it. Thank you so much for your time. This was,
no,
I know
thank you
this
for
is
having
going
me.
to help people out. This is what individuals need to hear, right? And sometimes it's one of those things where I can say these things every day and people are like, you know, really resistant to it, but it's really good to have you come on and share your perspective. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.